Hey family, thank you for following and trusting the path that led you here. This is Flow Space, Conscious Conversations with J&D. I'm Jerrica.
And I'm Deandra. Our discussions will be led by intuition and spirit as we continue to evolve and learn about what it means to live an earthly human experience.
Hi, ladies.
Hi, champ.
Hi, champ.
It looks like you guys are in some cool hyperdimensional realm.
Yeah, that was the idea behind the setup.
Oh, I can't turn on my camera, but I guess I can talk to you guys audio. It won't let me turn it on, so.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. No problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
cool.
So good to see you ladies again. It's been like 2 years.
Yeah, I was just looking at the previous episode. June would be 2 years.
What did we talk about?
We spoke about a lot about the ego.
Yeah, we spoke about the rainbow body.
There you go. That sounds more like it.
Yes, the meditation that you practice.
Dzogchen.
Yes, Dzogchen meditation.
Nice. Okay, very good. We talked about everything that was my favorite topic. I remember that.
Yeah, that's what you mentioned in the episode, that it's one of your favorite topics, the rainbow body.
Yeah. In our life during that time, we also shared how we had recently quit our corporate jobs, and you were sharing how that's such a pivotal point in shifting our reality for our greatest benefit, to free ourselves from the matrix in that way, to allow the universe to support us.
Wow, it's been a good 2 years. A lot has changed. And is your background like actually the way it looks, or is that like
yeah
where is that? I want to go. Oh, it's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah,
a lot of effort and intention went into it.
I'm getting past life vibes, like I've been there before in a dream or another life, who knows.
That's so cool. This is Eni, the being behind us has a presence, so that's
Oh,
Eni.
I love it.
And are you still in Thailand?
Yes, last time I talked to you 2 years ago, I was living in meditation retreat in the north of Thailand. And last year I moved to Bangkok. I came down to the big city. So for the past year and a half, I've been living an entirely new lifestyle and trying to work on a project that's helping to build one of the first Vajrayana temples in Thailand. And Vajrayana is the school of Buddhism that teaches Dzogchen and also focuses on the rainbow body. So it's a very auspicious project to be bringing this type of knowledge to Thailand, because Thailand is already a Buddhist country, but to bring the esoteric teachings of Buddhism that deal with rainbow body, that deal with, you know, non-dual meditation, to bring this into Thailand for the first time is a very, very, like, it's a very important occasion for the entire world of Dharma. And we are planning to have this Vajrayana temple be sort of like the hub of travel of a lot of spiritual tourists who come to Thailand, because it's a very easy country to enter, and it's also a very popular place to enter for people who want to travel and see temples and learn all about deep spiritual traditions such as Buddhism or such as Vajrayana. So now there's a place in Southeast Asia where people can easily access Vajrayana teachings.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you embark on that journey? That sounds monumental.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was living in a meditation retreat, it was about 5 to 6 years. I wasn't really in contact with anybody else in the world other than through like social media.
Wow.
And time when you are like, when you have devoted your life to like a spiritual practice for so long, you start to make aspirations out into the world. You start to ask for blessings that, you know, maybe one day may I be able to meet other people who are on a similar path. May I meet somebody who I can teach these Dzogchen instructions to, or may I have an opportunity one day in my life where I can teach Dzogchen to like a Thai audience. And eventually, because I post on Instagram around the world, people can read my writings. Somebody who was in Bangkok saw one of my posts and they were really interested because I was living in Thailand too. And they invited me to come and meet them in Bangkok. And he happened to be a very interesting Vajrayana practitioner. He's also a Lama and he's also a Rinpoche. So this means that he has a very profound knowledge of the Vajrayana lineage. And he was already planning to build this temple. And when he met me, he asked me to come and help him because at the time, there were no other yogis in Thailand who had the background experience that I had. And also with my interest in rainbow body and Dzogchen and all these, you know, esoteric types of teachings, as well as the 5D knowledge, ascension knowledge, everything from my background, it was a good fit for me to come and be a teacher for this type of temple. Because not only will it be Vajrayana teachings, it will be like spiritual teachings, like everything that you and I talk about, all of these teachings, people around the world are ripe for it. And it doesn't mean they have to become a Buddhist when they come to Thailand. It just means they get to explore their own spiritual traditions that they've had throughout life. So you can think of Thailand as a sort of spiritual hub, sort of like Bali, but in a new way. Bangkok will be like a spiritual hub where people can come and learn all sorts of different ways of healing the mind and body. And meditation is obviously the cornerstone of this entire spiritual practice of coming to Thailand, changing your life, finding a new path through the whole world of ascension. You know, this is a good project, and I've been working on it for over a year and a half, like I said, and we'll see how it goes. Everything is new now. It's like there's no plans. It's just we're just going with the flow.
It sounds amazing. It sounds really, really exciting. And as you were sharing, what came to my mind is how beautiful it is when we embark on our journeys and we do the different work and we pursue our different interests, how that can lead to such monumental things that maybe at the time that we first embark, we have no insight or clue as to what that's going to lead us to. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to hear you sharing how your background, your interest allowed you to gain the knowledge that you do have. And then because of your platform, you met this individual and now you're in joint efforts working on something so beautiful.
Yeah, something bigger than the both of you to support humanity at such a larger scale than what I'm sure maybe you could have imagined when you first embarked on this journey for your own personal development. And it's just so empowering to hear this, especially for those who are just firstly embarking on growing their spirituality or pursuing ascending within their own being for their own benefit and the benefit of humanity at large. It's so nice to hear someone actually reaping the rewards and going for something beyond what your first intention was when you began this path.
Thank you. It's very nice to meet other people such as yourselves, because you understand the journey is very unpredictable, and at times it can seem like you're lost. Like I was quite lost over the past year and a half at certain times, because I was trying to juggle having a passive income while living in the city and still maintaining my meditation practice. And at times I didn't really understand the magnitude of the project that I was involved in. And as you said, like it unfolds and it becomes something bigger than what we could have ever imagined. Because when you meet other people who have had blessings in their life, they are able to quickly put into action like projects, you know. They are able to have everything happen at the right time. They have enough funds, they have enough support, they have enough everything, you know. Has to be perfectly timed when you create a spiritual center such as what we're trying to make. So it's all about how much merit you've done in your past. That merit will eventually ripen to the point where positive miracles start happening in your life. And sometimes these miracles aren't apparent as miracles when they first appear, but then, like, as we look back over the past 2 years since we had our last podcast, all of those confusing times, they actually make sense now. And we can just sit back and just sort of like, you know, have a big sigh of relief because it worked, you know. Everything that we've been through and we've been preparing for, everything seems to have been okay. And we are still on the journey together and still making a lot of success in everything that we do. And we're having this podcast now. Like, I didn't have any podcast for like 2 years because I sort of got into a mini like dark night of the soul, and I just devoted my time to other things outside of social media. So I'm very happy to be back making this type of podcast because it means that I need to revisit my 5D awakening consciousness and sort of rebirth it. I want it to be something that can support me with a passive income like it used to. Before I was shadow banned and censored, that really hurt my traffic to my site. So I really want to reinvigorate my social media presence with 5D awakening consciousness. And I think that it's a really good time in my life to start new projects. Because after the eclipse, it seemed like everything that was slow and stalling in my life is finally starting to wake up. So I think this year will be for all of us.
It's really cool to hear you share what you have experienced since our last podcast, because I think for both of us, we've experienced something very similar. And what I feel called on my heart to share is the importance of having trust in the process, because like you said, there's times of such confusion and not the clarity that we do have when we sit in meditation all day long, but things start moving so quickly and we're confused and we might lose our trust or our faith and our purpose. And it's really important to anchor back into that intention that we set out and stay true to the course, no matter what that looks like. Because same here, there was a point in time on our podcast that we haven't had any guests. You're the first guest that we've welcomed back onto our show in a while. Mm-hmm. Because we were continuing our podcast, but not sharing the energy because we were doing so much energetic work internally. So it's a cool reflection that you haven't done a podcast. We haven't had guests on our show. And then here we are meeting and discussing such great things.
Yeah, it really does speak to the importance of trusting the journey. That's what stood out to me greatly from what you were sharing, because of you saying it always worked itself out. Like, here we are now recording this podcast. And that can be so out of reach to even imagine when we're in the midst of the confusion and not knowing if we should continue or if our journey is worth the effort. And returning back to the intention, like you were saying, Jerrica, is really what has even allowed us to continue with the podcast mm-hmm. in itself. And I'm so grateful for that reflection, because there's so much medicine that has been shared through pursuing and keep and continuing on, despite those challenges or those moments where we lack clarity on what even our next step is. And to hear us now being able to gather and celebrate such a monumental change that's happening in your life really speaks to the importance of those confusing moments and rowing through them instead of letting them shift our focus.
Yeah, and I was listening back to the episode that we first recorded with you, Champ, and a part kind of re-sparked something in me. You were sharing how important it is to speak and share the messages, no matter what your platform size looks like. So you're mentioning of the shadow ban, because we experienced something like that as well. We had like thousands and thousands of followers, but they were just bots and they were blocking our content for some way that the algorithm works that I don't understand. So we went through that same phase of being discouraged, having to start over with our platform. Yet hearing that being shared, that no matter what it looks like, if you reach one person, you know, celebrate that, like if you reach the million, because the ripple is gonna really ripple out there. And that was such an important calling for us when we reached out to you, because we feel it's really important, like we shared with you in our message, that we want to use the collective consciousness to manifest the optimal timeline reality for Earth. And we would love to get into that and hear, you know, your insight and how we can actually achieve that.
Yeah. Okay, very nice. I actually had a short Instagram live with another person today. His name is Junk DNA. I think that you guys all follow each other. And it was a really nice conversation for about an hour and a half. And that was like the first conversation that I've had as a podcast, or I guess you can say Instagram live. So it's really nice that we are coming back, and because he was also shadow banned and censored. So all of us have this experience where we were so disappointed, but at the same time, we were just like, whatever, just keep going. And I think a lot of starseeds and lightworkers, we have this attitude where it doesn't matter what negative events are coming upon us, we still have that internal practice where we just know that it's for the greater good of all beings, for the universe, what we're doing. And whether we are silenced or not, we can keep continuing doing what we love from our heart for all beings, and we will let the universe sort it out.
Yeah, that's definitely the motivation, because at times it can be so discouraging. And I know countless conversations that Deandra and I had where it can feel like, what is our efforts and our energy going to? Because right now it doesn't seem like much, but then we will get a message from somebody, or just in conversation, we overhear something and it's like, yes, this is our purpose. This is why it's so important to forget all of the distractions that can surface and the mental chatter that can cause us to shift our awareness or our attention and return to what we feel innate in our soul.
Yeah. And to speak on what you were saying about the passive income, because that has been part of the conversation in the past for us, like, where is the monetary gain for all of the efforts that we're putting in? And part of what you were just sharing, Jerrica, was us returning back to what we're doing is greater than the monetary gain that we desire, although it is essential in this paradigm that we live on for society right now. Clearing that out of the way really allowed us to return back in greater truth as to what our ultimate goal is with what we're doing. And in that, we were able to then have more passive income coming our way, not to the extent of it sustaining us fully, but I feel shifting that perspective as to gaining rewards monetarily for our efforts allowed us to flow more without it being rooted in for monetary gain.
And it's kind of what, Champ, what you shared earlier, that you met this person, and I feel like that's always the reflection and the reward that we receive when we mm-hmm. stay true and clear within our own vessels. The universe then rewards us for continuing and going forward. And you do encounter the perfect opportunities and people to help you further the mission even more. So it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. The optimal timeline reality is one where we have this passive income to the point where we can dedicate all of our time to enjoying all of the type of spiritual practices that we wish to. I mean, this is my ideal understanding of an optimal timeline reality, is that we have everything that we need. We have security, we have a home, we have our basic needs met, and now we can focus all of our time to our inner transformation, you know, however that may look to each and every individual. And when we manifest the optimal timeline reality for our entire planet, what it means is that when enough, I guess we, I can call it, when enough light workers, star seeds, you know, indigo children, when all of us come together and truly, truly feel and manifest a positive future for everybody, I think this will enter into the collective consciousness much stronger and much wider, and it will manifest the timeline much quicker. So the more of us around the world, whatever you want to call us, you know, awakened ones, star beings, whatever you want to call us, when we truly set the intention within each and every one of our hearts that we want this type of positive future, we want it to be a place where we can focus all of our love into what we truly want to accomplish in this life without having to worry about being, you know, a rat in a cage, dying away at some pointless job for the rest of your life. When we can have a positive intention to have as much fun and love as we can, and everybody is thinking these same thoughts and manifesting the beautiful future, this is how you manifest the optimal timeline reality, is when all of our consciousness, our collective consciousness, is positively manifesting a quite similar future. It doesn't have to be exact, but the point is the vibration, is the frequency of our thoughts. How harmonious are they to the point where the collective consciousness is able to, is what they call, tip the scale? And when you tip the scale, I've heard it like this before, okay? It's like 49% light, 49% dark, and then there's like 1% in the middle, and that's the scale that we tip. We are like the light workers that are tipping this 1% over to the light. And if you can think of it in that way, I think that it makes much more sense of how powerful each and every person's individual thought is. Because if your thought is similar to my thought, which is like, you know, I hope that we all can have a very happy future, okay? This is very broad, but it's very true. Most people have this thought. So us three, we have this similar thought. And then, you know, people on our social media, they have the same thought. And we are vibrating at that same frequency. So it's like a tuning fork. When you hit it, obviously it makes the other tuning forks vibrate, right? So this is how it works. When you try to build a global meditation, you try to share your optimal timeline reality with others, which is very similar. I mean, you've seen my chart that I created, right? It's not that far-fetched of a positive future. It's basically asking that, you know, we have free energy, we have ET contact, everybody's able to become enlightened, and eventually the entire planet ascends to, you know. I'm not asking for too much, but that's that's what I want people to. It's designed to help you manifest a positive future, not only for the first, you know, next 10 years of your life, but for like entire humanity.
Yeah. And so how does one use the information that you have cultivated together on the 5D awakening map? How can one use that information to connect and raise their consciousness in efforts of aiding the collective consciousness reaching this optimal timeline reality?
So if you really study all of the artwork that I've created over the past few years, eventually it doesn't matter how many topics you are an expert in. What really matters is if you can take all of that information and see that there is a central theme in it, which is your mind is what creates all of your happiness or suffering in your life. And it's the mind that's going to allow you to become what is known as an enlightened being. So when we study the teachings of enlightened masters throughout the past, it's their mind that they learn to train and to transform throughout their entire life. And for those who are supreme masters, they attain very special states of being that are known as siddhis, S-I-D-D-H-I. And siddhis are supernatural powers that deal with telepathy, or sometimes they can even levitate, or they can walk through cave walls, or they can, you know, astral travel, they can fly. There's a lot of these types of legends throughout ancient Tibet and India. So a lot of practitioners of Dharma, even Vajrayana practitioners, a lot of these ascended masters, a lot of these Buddhas, they attain enlightenment in this lifetime, and then they're able to display these amazing miracles, which only inspire other people to follow the path of Dharma. And when you start to realize that our human body has this potential, then it's supposed to inspire you to seek this type of knowledge and want to know how to do it yourself. This is what I want people to understand when they see all of the things that I put into the map. It's designed to overwhelm you with so many spiritual secrets that you didn't know about if you were just, how can I put it? If you were just a zombie living through life, you know, totally unaware of these things, right? But when you realize that they're true and they're real, and people in the past have attained these abilities, and people in the present day are still attaining these abilities, it's supposed to inspire you to walk a spiritual path. And if it doesn't inspire you, then it's because of your past life karma. It hasn't ripened enough so that you seek this type of transformation in your life. You may be somebody who is still very worldly attached to, you know, the material aspect of becoming born into this 3D human realm. But for a lot of people, I know a lot of, you know, people in our spiritual community, they've already been here before and they've already done that. And the material, you know, the material race doesn't inspire them anymore. What they seek is something that's more fulfilling, more everlasting, and more healing. And I think this is why we walk the spiritual path, is because we know that there's so much more than what's on TV and magazines and in all the newspapers. You know, there's so much more than what's on the surface. And when we seek these inner secrets of what we truly are, that's the whole reason why I'm trying to share what I do, is because I really want people to pursue a path of transformation, not just only for themselves in this lifetime, but when you die, when you create a spiritual lifestyle in this life, at the moment of death, you still continue on to even greater, higher dimensional realms. And mm-hmm. and your life will always be a positive life, full of being born or being reborn in a place where there are spiritual teachings. Like you're not going to be born in a place where you're stuck in a factory your whole life and you never ever even know that you could be enlightened. That would be like the worst type of rebirth, right? Even to be reborn as something not a human, you wouldn't even have the chance of becoming a spiritually enlightened being, right? You would have to probably be reborn over and over again, and maybe one day you are lucky enough to win the universal lotto that you become a human, because only the human body is able to attain enlightenment. If you were born as like a higher god, they're known as like asuras, or you know, like higher than a human is considered like a god, but they're not like you know, from like ancient history, we have like Zeus and we have like the Indian Vedas, like those would be considered gods, right? But even gods, they sometimes are not interested in enlightenment because they are so distracted in their heavenly realms. So this is a very interesting teaching in Buddhism, is that only the human being is able to attain enlightenment. Any other being above or below the human realm, they are so caught up in their own distracting aspects of their life that they just don't want to care about spirituality. So if a god has everything that they need and they have all the luxuries, of course they're going to be so spoiled that they wouldn't even want to consider meditation or want to consider pursuing the light body. So this is a very deep topic to ponder, the preciousness of a human rebirth. So that is another aspect of, you know, finding the knowledge, putting it into practice, realizing that time is very short in this life. Put it to good use. Stop wasting your life on distractions and walk the spiritual path, and make sure that, you know, you are make sure that it's something that you truly devote your life to, and try not to get distracted, because, you know, as you said earlier, everybody is trying to have a passive income and be, you know, and be able to freely pursue everything that they need. But sometimes the work that we do can be very distracting, like I've noticed over the past 2.5 years. So we need to keep our mind focused on our goal, and also understand that distractions do occur, but always keep your mind on your spiritual practice, because that is your foundation, your ground to return to. And my meditation practice was the reason why I'm still alive today. You know, it kept me alive through every challenge, every dark night of the soul. Every moment I have this meditation practice that I can come back to. Even when I'm in my car driving, you know, I don't have to have my eyes closed to meditate. I can literally meditate now with my eyes open, with all my 5 senses fully open to everything, but not be attached to anything and not be averted to anything. So I don't have any judgments over anything that comes into my 5 senses. I just enjoy everything as a purity. It's known as a non-dual purity. And we can talk more about that if you want to, but I'm just trying to put everything into one into one blurb here about meditation and the optimal timeline reality.
Yeah, I feel like everything you shared is such a beautiful and gentle reminder. It connects so deeply to the scale you mentioned, the 49% scale, and why it's so important for us to connect back to ourselves and stay focused. Like you said, the distractions can surface, and that also connects into the money, the money that can be a distraction, wanting to have this sort of passive income so that you have more time. And similar to the gods that might get distracted with what they have going on, we lose sight and we sort of fall off of what matters most, and we stop pursuing the things that actually bring us closer to enlightenment in efforts of making that money or figuring out a way out of the matrix, or we don't want to be in the rat race anymore. So we confuse ourselves so deeply that we become so far away from the point. And that visual of the scale, I have it so in the forefront of my mind right now, because anytime I have a distracting thought, or let's say like a bad thought, even though there's no good or bad, I can shake it off quickly and just like justify, like, it's fine, I'm a human, humans have these kinds of things happen. Yet that one small thought that I had contributes to the other side during the duration of the time that I have it, and it really emphasizes the importance of keeping the thoughts clear and the importance of meditation, so that we do move around this life with the awareness instead of having unawareness.
And for someone who is pursuing enlightenment and wants the passive income so that they can pursue enlightenment full time and not have to be concerned about financial need, for someone who's in that chapter of their life, what insights do you have so that they don't become distracted with the money and stop focusing on their true intention of pursuing enlightenment?
Oh, that's a very good question, because the way I was talking about it, it's very easy to mistake the truth that spiritual practice and real life are not two separate things. Most people on the spiritual path think that there's a time to do spirituality and there's a time to make money and work. But when you are truly walking the spiritual path, you have to realize that everything in your life is the spiritual practice. So the fact that I had a lot of challenges and struggles occur when I came into the city to live, this is part of the practice. The practice is not staying in meditation retreat perfectly at peace. The practice is coming into the real world and testing your mind to see if you can remain in a state of pure peace and calm in any situation, and therefore, you know, help others in ways that you couldn't have because before you weren't a healed being. But because you have a spiritual practice, any situation that comes up, this is your chance to put it to test. It's basically test driving the new car, right? So let's say you spent 4 years in meditation retreat. Okay, great. Who cares? So when you come to the city, you should be a much more healed being, able to work with anybody and able to be fearless in any situation. So this is the spiritual practice, is putting it to use and seeing where you need to improve or where you still need to find more learning and understanding on your way to enlightenment. Because only yourself, you will know how to be your own teacher. And when you are your own teacher, you can, in that moment, make changes to your behavior. And it's a very meaningful way to practice Dharma, is to bring everything into the practice. Never separate meditation and real life. Everything should be one meditation. Everything in life should be treated as a meditative practice, including sitting with your eyes closed, you know, and legs crossed. This is one type of meditation. This is known as formal meditation. And informal meditation is when you are off the cushion, the entirety of your life and the entire day, even the dream, if you're skilled enough, even at night when you go to dream, you awaken in the dream and you lucid dream and you take advantage of that time when you are lucidly awake in the dream to actually do more meditation or to seek out spiritual teachers that aren't available, you know, in our normal waking hours. So for people who are skilled at astral travel and lucid dreaming, what they would do is they would seek out enlightened masters. You could seek out Jesus, you could seek out any one of the many Buddhas and or any of the rainbow body masters. You can go and find them in dream time and actually receive teachings from them and ask them anything you want. This is a very advanced form of dream yoga. I'm just putting it out there to red pill people.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it so much because you do hear of people sharing. Like I've been in circles where we go into meditation and then people will receive messages from ascended masters. And I think it's the coolest thing. It just, you have to want to try to experience it for yourself to believe it to even be true.
Yeah, and I really like the concept you shared about life being a meditative practice. It reminded me of this being Earth School. So it's a nice articulated example and explanation as to how it all is one thing, and our spiritual way of being isn't something that's just for being on the cushion. It's really how we carry through life as a way of life.
Yeah, and it brings into play the concept of interconnectedness and oneness and unity, as opposed to the false veil of separation and the illusion that comes with that. Mm-hmm. Because it's true. Being in meditation is so easy to do when I'm isolated in my home and I have the quiet time and I can bring forward that bliss and the peace that I desire. But can I do that when I'm in the midst of chaos in a chaotic city, or just like anything that's happening that can make me feel like it's not the most ideal situation? And I feel like that's when we become stronger in our practice is when we do have the ability to see it as one. It's not separate.
Very, very good. I wanted to say something also about the meditation practice in everyday life. One very good example I can give is if you're driving in your car, right? And if somebody passes you and cuts you off, the meditation practice in that moment is not to become angry, right? The meditation practice is to observe the situation equanimously. And in your mind, you know, you should start to think relatively. So this person, you can imagine this person, maybe they had a really bad day and they just happened to accidentally cut you off, and you want to send them love and you want to hope that they have a much better day and that they get home safely. And then if they're rushing to go home because, you know, maybe their children are in trouble or something like that, then you wish them that may they get home safely, may they drive safely through traffic, may they get to where they need to go, and may they enjoy the rest of their day. Because you never know if somebody is cutting you off due to an emergency or whatever. Maybe they're just an old person. You always wish the other person that they would have a very happy, safe day. And this is one way to consider relativity into your meditation practice. And you want to practice like this everywhere you go. Even when you see like beggars on the street, you want to always say, you know, like, thank you that I am not living like them. I really hope that one day they will find, you know, a much better path in life, and may they be safe, may they have money, may they be rich, may they win the lottery today. You want to wish this to people when you see them, and then you and then this meditation practice becomes everything. Every person you see in the store, every person you see on the news, you know, people you like or don't like, everything becomes relative, and you start to see how much pain everybody is in. And then you start to have a heart of awakening, is that you wish these people to be free of suffering instead of being angry at everybody because they're idiots or something like that, right? You don't have these judgments anymore when you have a meditative practice. The judgments become just pure observation. And when you are in this space, which is known as a non-dual meditative practice, your mind is in a non-dual state, meaning it's not judging things as good or bad, as like you said earlier, right? That was very amazing that you said that. When you are not seeing things as good or bad, you just see things as they are. Your heart is able to reach out to others more easily because you don't have any judgments. You've learned to oversee the judgments that were so automatic to, you know, the untrained mind. So this is one meditative practice I teach to you. It's just to see everything in life as a chance to test yourself. Can you get past this challenge without getting angry or getting, what do you call it? You know, getting annoyed or getting bored or getting impatient. This is the teacher. Mm-hmm. You feel emotions, that means you still have work to do. You still have to find that calmness that you find in meditation, but you have to find that calmness in every situation. It's there. It's just that your mind sometimes wants to judge too quickly.
Oof, that is so good.
It really is, because what it speaks of is the reactive state. You know, if we're operating from that state of reactiveness, we're taking away from, let's say, that meditative practice that you gave such a good example of. That I feel like everybody can relate to, because I do think that a lot of people, when they first hear of meditation, they think that they have to dedicate the time and space to do it without realizing that you can carry this practice forward in every single moment of your life. And what a good practice it is when you are triggered by something, let's say by a driver that cuts you off. And it really means nothing, because who cares if somebody cuts us off? If it's not a safety concern, like there's no immediate accident, big deal. It's not that important. But the ego might feel like, oh, they cut me off, I need to do something. And that's not the case. That's a great time to bring into practice what you shared.
What I really love is the train and transforming of the mind, because it speaks to conversations that Jerrica and I have had recently about the active effort it requires, especially in the beginning stages of reprogramming our minds, repatterning our behaviors to support us living a more enlightened, peaceful life. And the active effort requires to actively train the way that you approach situations instead of reacting to them, leading with the heart space through this practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so powerful.
It really connects to something, one of the topics that's on the 5D awakening map, the concept of samsara, how we're all constantly creating this thing based on where our thoughts go, mm-hmm. and how we choose to see the situation. So going back to the driving, if we choose to see that in a negative light, or we choose to follow through with that trigger, we're now creating this false reality for ourselves. But if we do go with the training and the reprogramming and repatterning of our mind through the meditation practices or other practices that one might choose, we're able to really anchor in that new timeline and the optimal reality. That's how I try to see it, so that in every moment I remind myself why it's best to choose the highest outcome possible, as opposed to succumbing to those, what I can feel as lower vibrations trying to pull me back into old patterns.
Mm-hmm. It's a very simple you way. Can try to avoid the lower vibration distractions, then you are going to be on the higher vibration timeline. This is very true. So it's sort of like a game, actually. If anything that comes up in your life, you have the option in that moment to choose the lower vibration timeline or go to the new earth, right? So I obviously want to go to the new earth. So in every situation that brings the emotion of anger, if I can just cut through that in that moment and just choose to be at peace, I'm already on the timeline for the new earth. I don't have to worry about ever falling back to the old earth again, because everything speaks vibrationally, you know. So that the more that you choose the higher path, the more you're going to gain positive merit. And this positive merit, it like goes into this big pot, okay? And this pot eventually is going to cash out. And when you cash out, you're gonna know. You'll know. So that's my advice with that. And on the last podcast, I was teaching you how to meditate in terms of having the non-dual mind practice. And I remember telling you that when our thoughts arise, when we see our thoughts arise during meditation, or you know, during real life, we watch our thoughts as we watch weather pass by. When we look out the window and we see rain, or we see wind, or if it's a sunny day, we know that weather is impermanent. It doesn't stay the same for more than a few hours. And just like our mind, it's constantly changing and shifting. And sometimes we don't even have control over it. It just does its thing. It's just like weather. And if you can see your mind in that way, as if you are going to the park and just enjoying whatever it presented to you, then you are going to start to understand what it means to become a detached observer to your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And when you become a detached observer, you are more likely to understand the concept of enlightenment. It's because the observer is the non-dual Buddha nature within you. When you are the non-dual observer, this is actually what it means to be a Buddha. It means to be detached and simply observe everything without judgment, without having any craving, or without having any aversion to the thoughts, feelings, and emotions that constantly pass on by in our minds. So one of the practices I teach you right now is to see everything equanimously, whether they're thoughts passing through our mind or whether they're sensations and feelings arising within our body. So a lot of people, when they meditate, they may feel pain in their body, for example. This is another perfect opportunity to look directly at the pain and to realize that it's not a solid object that you can grab and you can hold in your hand. It's actually just a vibration. It's just an energy movement that is something that you can't even take a photo of. It's literally an illusion that you are associating with. This is pain. This is my body. I am feeling this. I am suffering. All of these thoughts that are happening within your mind are tricking you to believe that pain is bad. So if you can actually see through pain and cut through it by just seeing it as a cloud passing by in the sky, as well as all your thoughts, all your feelings, all your emotions, all the pains, everything is the same, it's just weather. This is how to develop the meditative non-dual mind that you practice throughout your life in every situation.
Champ, thank you so much for giving these examples, because I feel like it really helps somebody connect to what this practice looks like and sort of see that it is possible, that it isn't such a far-fetched concept to want to strive and create this new earth here for all of us, or connect to the optimal timeline reality for Earth. All of these examples that you're speaking of bring the actuality of these practices forward, and I think it's so beautiful. So I just wanted to express so much gratitude for you sharing this right now.
Yes. Thank you. I really hope that it makes sense that in order to have an optimal timeline reality, it begins with your inner work. If you are able to live in a meditative state of peace throughout your life, you are on the new earth timeline. There's nothing you need to worry about. Whatever happens to you until the moment of death, you know that you are going to a much higher and positive future.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the future is always uncertain, if you have a full life with positive meditative practice, then for sure what happens at death is nothing to fear ever.
Yeah. So, I was gonna say, I have a question. In terms of this concept that we're speaking of, how we can choose the optimal timeline reality for ourselves, and then connecting it to the concept of oneness. So, globally right now, there's so many things being experienced, and we all choose what we focus on, but what we focus on doesn't take away from what else is occurring that might not be the optimal timeline reality. So how do we continue anchoring in this optimal timeline reality, even though all of these catastrophes and chaos is still existing in the world?
Okay, this is a very classic question that people have asked the Buddha for, you know, thousands of years. And in any type of realm that you are born in any time period that you are born on this earth, we just happen to be born at this time and in this climate where everything is just crazy, because we can see it on media. We have access to images around the world at all times, you know. There's not going to be anybody on this planet who can help everybody. Even the enlightened beings, when they were born, even though they attained rainbow body, they weren't able to help every single person on this planet. Everything that they teach is always about personal transformation. You must dedicate this life to spiritually awakening yourself. And then if you are able to attain enlightenment, then you are able to help all beings. But until you have a sort of awakening, and until you devote yourself to a spiritual path, it's very hard to want to help other beings. So what we do is that we always make the intention that may all beings be free of suffering, and we make this as a prayer, and we make it as an intention, and we make it as a manifestation, that we will do everything that we can to help all beings. And in the meantime, we must focus on our spiritual transformation. We must focus on our own personal journey of enlightenment. Or if you don't even want to call it enlightenment, you can just call it walking your spiritual path of awakening, your ascension. This is the most important thing. It is to make sure that we don't lose sight of that, because if we do lose sight of that, it's much more difficult to even be able to help other beings, let alone lead them on the path to enlightenment as well.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And there's something on the 5D awakening map. I wrote it down because I feel that this is the key to just how to begin and continue your journey of enlightenment. It says, increase your service to others and be more loving to yourself and everyone in order to raise your vibrational consciousness level. Forgive yourself and others, thus relieving karma. This will change the vibration of the planet, raise the shared consciousness of humanity, and change humankind one person at a time. Treat your body as a temple and change over to a high vibrational diet to aid in the process. And that's at the very top of the map. And I believe it's a quote by Ra. So this is speaking to everything you just shared, and it sums it up so beautifully and easy to comprehend and digest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a channeling by Ra, and for our times, it wasn't channeled back, you know, thousands of years ago. This was actually like a very recent channeling, and it spoke to our time. It spoke to our planet that is experiencing this negativity, and it's basically telling us that if you even want to consider walking the spiritual path, first what you must do is you must make sure that your body is able to walk the path, right? Physically walk the path. So if you can heal your body by being very loving to it, by feeding it very highly nutritious organic foods that don't have, you know, like GMOs and cancer causing chemicals, and you have a heightened sense of awareness to everything that you put in your body and on your body, for example, like toothpaste, body creams, shampoo, all of these things, anything that touches your skin should be organic. You should make an effort to make sure that even your toothpaste has no fluoride in it. And you should even go to the extreme of choosing laundry detergent that is organic, because when you sweat, you don't want any of the chemicals to go into your body that's made by all of the Illuminati companies that we have, you know, in our country. So you have to go to that extreme to actually get rid of all the toxins in your life that are causing you to go crazy, literally. If you look at any picture of America these days, people are just crazy because their laundry detergent has these chemicals in it, and it's going into millions and hundreds of millions of Americans, and they don't know this. It's literally killing people toxically. Like there's like mental disease all across the country of America, okay? Because they've been so poisoned by the toxins in their food and on their skin, in their hair at night, shampoo, when they take a shower, goes into their skin, into their scalp, to their brain, third eye, pineal gland. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Everything that Americans, I'm just picking on America because I'm American, okay? Everything that Americans do these days is creating toxic, is a toxic culture. I mean, this is just like one aspect of toxic culture, and another aspect is the media. The movies, the news, the music. Okay, I can just go on and on about it. So you have to be very awakened to this aspect of cultures, especially in America, okay? And once you are awakened to this aspect, then you can start to make change, right? This is what it means to treat your body as a temple. Switch over to a high vibe diet, a high vibe lifestyle. I mean, even if you just collect crystals, this is good already, you know? You're increasing your vibration by becoming in touch with nature. And some people can even like heal with crystals and stuff. It's very, you know, it's very deep, the type of healing you can do. And once you get this basic need done of protecting your body, then you are on the way to, you know, having higher spiritual experiences. If you'd like to, you know, like healing your chakras, opening your third eye, you know, having lucid dreams at night, or having telepathic contact, or whatever you want. There's so many there's so many crazy things that you can do in the spiritual world. But if you can't even like detox your body, how are you going to use this vessel to, you know, to navigate the spiritual world? It's a very important thing that people should take very seriously on the path of awakening, is to detox your body, avoid everything that's not organic, and try to raise your vibration every moment, every day, every moment.
Yeah,
that is so important.
It is so important. And I feel that's the aspect of the, one of the aspects that we've spoken about in the last episode with the 5D awakening map, that these concepts can kind of shock you. And like you shared, that's the purpose. It's to shock you awake almost. Mm-hmm. And once you start realizing, okay, my water is poisoned, my food is poisoned, my products are poisoned, the couch I'm sitting on is poisoned, all of these different things, it can be a lot and it can be overwhelming. But once you have that awareness, there's no going back. You can't switch off that awareness and just act as if you don't know. I mean, you could do that, but I feel when I gained that awareness, it was such a shock to me that it motivated me to make better choices, to make the conscious choices and the healthy lifestyle. And that allowed me to then decalcify my pineal gland, open the third eye, open the heart chakra. And that allowed for the spiritual path that I was choosing and craving to embark on. It allowed for it to be clearer for me. All of those other things, I feel, are such distractions, and they're so intelligently designed. Like, it's crazy how much thought is put into the ways to keep us suppressed and out of our power.
And now for you, living in the city, how do you incorporate this into your lifestyle amidst being in a place that's so heavily populated? And it's much easier, I would think, to do this in like the countryside or where there's less pollution and more access to nature and things like that. How can one integrate this amidst being in a city?
So when I was living in meditation retreat out in the country, it's a very beautiful place to live and to practice. But when you come into the city, that's when it's very exciting for me. I really love the city. It's a place where I find great joy in everything, in all the smells, the sights, the sounds. People think that when I come to the city as a yogi, it's very distracting and I'm going to get distracted and sad. But when I come to the city, I am so happy because every sense, every sensorial experience is very, because I don't judge it, everything is beautiful to me. Like, I see everything as what is referred to as a pure land. It's a practice in Buddhism, is to see samsara as nirvana. And one of the practices I love is coming into the city and imagining that it's already a pure land. And one of my favorite practices is called liminal space exploring. This is like a very nerdy thing, okay? Like, I like to go to old rundown malls that are like still out of like 1990s, like untouched. And a lot of these malls in Thailand are like sort of run down, but at the same time, they're still alive. And when you walk into them, it's like you're going back in a time machine to like 1990. The smells are exactly the same as when I was, you know, a five-year-old going to Thailand for the first time. And I love to explore these spaces in Thailand because to any other person, it would seem like a very depressing, like rundown mall. But for myself as a yogi, I can learn to transform these depressing spaces into places of great joy and great pleasure and great fascination. So this is one practice that I love to do. And I used to do it too when I lived in California, but the places in California were so depressing that you can't even play this game. It's just like so sad.
So there's levels to it.
There's like, you don't even want to know. But anyways, when I came to Thailand, one of the practices is trying to see Nirvana within every space in the city. And that is why I love being in any place, even when I'm in the countryside. There are things that are depressing there too. So it's trying to transform your mind to see everything in an amusing and a fascinating aspect. It's very fun and it's very healing. And it's a good test to see how well your mind can observe reality without negative judgments.
Mm-hmm. And that's the practice of anchoring in heaven on earth in the way that I practice it. It's even though this might be crumbling or falling apart, I can still see the beauty in it. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's not the easiest practice. You know, I have to keep it real that it's challenging at times depending on the circumstance I'm in. But again, I always connect back to this moment is just going to level me up. If I can get through it and not fold, it'll level me up. And then if I do fold and I do resort back to seeing it in a negative way, I just know I have to work that much harder the next time to get myself back to where I desire to be.
And is boundaries in this way of life, is that in that reality, or is you know, because if it's going to this rundown mall and being able to see the beauty in it, but then like comparing it to a place in California where it's so depressing, is that when boundaries come into play to kind of protect ourselves from being in spaces that can weigh us down? Or do boundaries evolve, or, you know, like...
Is it more so boundaries, like, with specific people? Like, not like a mall setting, but like interacting?
Yeah, energy, like mm-hmm. energetically with people, places, or things that can impact us. Is that... Oh, yeah.
It's very good to be aware of the boundaries, but you also have to be aware that boundaries are also illusory. So it's not something that... You can pass through them if you want to. And then when you find people that you don't vibe with, then that's a very good sign that you shouldn't vibe with them. It means that you have a heightened sense of awareness. Like when you go to these places and you feel depressed, this is a good sign that you have a heightened sense of awareness. You have a higher sense of feeling auras, feeling energies. And there's a time to enjoy it, and there's a time to trust it, and also to trust the boundaries. But at the same time, realize that those boundaries are also illusions.
So what about, because to further Deandra's question, because I may know the like root, what about when it's people that are in your life, let's say family members or some sort of like connection to these people that you know you don't vibe with them, but then you might feel the obligation to be around them? How do you navigate that in choosing this optimal reality?
And in seeing the beauty in it, you know, is it just an opportunity for us to level up? You know, where is the balance if there is one, if boundaries are an illusion, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. With these people, I mean, there comes a time for helping them, and there comes a time when you need to help yourself. So I don't know if you guys are living with like family that are difficult, or you have other friends who are in this situation, but there's a time when you spend that time with somebody, and then there's a time when you need to have that time for yourself too. So it's okay to give, and it's okay to take away. It's about protecting yourself. And you should always protect yourself and not be ashamed or shy of it. The other person is never gonna, it's not gonna mind. They're never gonna be as judgmental as you think it's going to be. It's usually in our mind how we think it's going to be is much worse than what it actually really is. Most people don't care when you ignore them.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. That's actually good though.
It is, it's really good.
Because it speaks to the energy that we put on how we think they're going to perceive our actions, that plays a more significant role than the reality of it. Because mm-hmm. the more we give energy to that, the more it manifests.
Exactly. So if we approach it with the overthinking mind and put a whole narrative on it, we're creating that reality for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really Tibetan Lama, and he was being asked one day, he was being asked, you know, what can I do to help people, Lama? And the Lama looked at him and he said, you know, sometimes it's better if you don't go and help people because you may be annoying them. Maybe they just want to be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've learned that.
Yeah, for sure. The question really originated from having an open heart in a space where then it's not received or makes us vulnerable because of the energy that's at play. But I think this conversation clarified how it is the mind and how we're perceiving what we're experiencing. And it doesn't have to be overanalyzed or have a heavy connotation associated with what we're experiencing. And we can just lead with the heart and see the beauty in everything, regardless of whatever is happening through the non-dual mind.
Yes,
yeah, without putting yourself into like an abuse mm-hmm. situation. Because I feel like the open heart, that's always the thing I always question, Champ, is the open heart and then the boundaries, so that I am safe and protected without somebody taking an advantage or something like that.
Yes, I mean, one of the aspects of spiritual awakening is learning not to take everything so seriously. And this is like a very enlightened teaching that a lot of enlightened masters will say. And it's very true. Most of the problems in our life occur because we take things so seriously. And that becomes a solidity that is unreal. You know, we try to make something solid out of that which is just illusory, just like clouds. And the more that we take things too serious, we have too much stress, we have too much attachment, and attachment to the outcome is what causes us to have depression.
That's good. It's freeing. Mm-hmm. It's lightening the load.
Yeah. It makes it as simple as life is meant to be, which is always such a great reminder to receive amidst being so consumed by whatever it is that's going on that's ultimately not real.
Yes, if we can learn to take our minds out of the past, even, like I said, even if somebody like cut in front of you in line, that already happened 5 seconds ago. If you are still thinking about that, you are still trying to pull something back from the past into the present that doesn't exist anymore. So even 5 seconds of practice is enough. You're gonna understand what it means to just let it be.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, because there's times that something might happen and I might have a reaction, but then I let it go so fast, and I might be around other people and they look at me like if something's wrong because I let it go and I carry forward as if nothing ever happened, because I'm now in the present moment. But it's not something like people actually are used to, so it can make them think that there's something wrong with you if you're able to like switch like that.
Yes, that's why people think yogis are crazy. Like when you go to like exotic places like India and Nepal and Tibet, when you meet yogis, they act like this. And that's what it means to be called a crazy yogi. It's because they've cut through everything to the point where if you're in like a social setting with them, you're gonna have all of these biases of how to behave in society. But this yogi is so free that he may not even be wearing clothing and he's just totally fine with it. But you're the one freaking out and like trying to make it into like a negative thing, right? Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
So there comes a time when it's okay to be a crazy yogi, and comes a time to realize, okay, there's social rules here living in America. Maybe I need to like put on some clothes.
For those things that just to not like get arrested, for example, outside of that, is there ever a time where it's necessary to follow like social norms? for the sake of maintaining the social norms, or is it okay to just be a crazy yogi at all times, no matter where we are?
I think a little bit of both of the answers. It's taught in all spiritual traditions, you know, even Jesus and Buddha. They said that we should honor the law of the land, but also other spiritual leaders have said things like, it's good to know all the rules so that you know how to break them. So it's basically saying there are boundaries, but at the same time, there are no boundaries. So to simply answer your question, we should do everything that we can to live in harmony with all beings.
Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the inner work with ourselves and just choosing again that optimal reality. If we're choosing it for ourselves, we're choosing it for everybody. And I think in the sense of these rules or social norms, we don't need to conform to them as long as we're not causing harm.
Yeah, that's really well put. And that actually reminds me of the mention of the inner work. When pursuing this meditative way of life, is it necessary to do things like inner child healing or revisiting traumas from our past for the benefit of healing and being able to show up in the present moment at our best? Or can someone just begin today living this meditative life and incorporating these practices without addressing those things from the past?
This is a very good question. In Tantric Buddhism, this is what they work with. They work with healing your past through bringing it into the present. And you can do this in various ways. You know, a lot of the techniques involve yogas, involve literally burning off all of the negative karma that you've had in the past through traumatic experiences. So this is a very healthy thing to do, is to bring up all of the negativity that you've experienced in the past, to see it in full light now in the present, and then to learn how to let it go, to cut through it, to see that it was something that happened when you were younger, and now you are a new person, and every moment you're a new person, and every second you are reborn. You don't have to choose to believe that you are still experiencing these traumas as you were when you were that person years ago, or that person even 5 minutes ago. So what Tantra teaches is that in every moment we have the choice to choose to be an entirely reborn person. And when we don't take that choice, then we simply are lost within the illusion that we've created, and that can just keep going on and on and on until we fully heal from it. But it doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't have to take an entire lifetime, and it also doesn't always happen right away within an instant. It takes time. Healing takes a lot of care, and at the same time, it can be instant. It can be instantaneous. It just depends on how much are we willing to let go of the habits that we've created throughout our lifetime. This is a very it's a very deep thing to ponder, because it's us holding on to our habits which create suffering. And it's so hard to let go of, but it's very easy to let go at the same time.
Yeah, it's so simple, but so profound. And I love the question you just shared, because that's such a good question. Anybody listening, myself included, that's such a good question to sit with and really feel into, to see what are the habits we are attached to that are preventing us from moving forward. Well, Champ, is there anything that you haven't shared that you would like to share?
Oh my gosh, there's last time I asked you guys this question, if you guys wanted to like talk about any topic on the Great Awakening map, because I'm trying to rebirth the map on social media, because my accounts were shadow banned for so long, and I feel like this time, 2024, is a very good time to reintroduce the map to social media. There's still, you know, millions of people in this world who haven't even seen it. And I think that it's a really good ripe time for human consciousness to explore these topics even further. And I just wanted to share that I plan to create more of these types of artworks where they're like rabbit holes teaching us about the hidden secrets of our reality. And I am going to devote a lot of new time to trying to build my 5D Awakening Consciousness Instagram page, as well as maybe exploring YouTube and TikTok, because I know that there's a lot of spiritual awakening people on these platforms that haven't even gotten to like rainbow body or anything profound that we've been talking about on this show today. So there's a lot more things that people can explore, and I want them to discover it on social media, because they're able to research and study it, you know, at home in their own private time. It's much easier to be red-pilled when you're sitting at home, nice and comfy. So it's a good time to take advantage of social media and share everything that is on the map.
Yeah.
For anybody listening, you can find Champ's map, the link to his map, in our show notes. And definitely, if you haven't explored it, take a look. It's such a great tool that you can use and aid you in your ascension on your awakening journey.
Yeah, it's really a timeless resource. There's something there for everyone, no matter where you are in your journey, from very beginning to very far along on the path. And it's something that even we can reference and go deeper with certain concepts beyond our previous awareness of them, through the growth of awareness that we have of ourselves while continuing this journey. So we, just as much as you do, Champ, really pray for this map to reach the masses, millions of people who have yet to discover it, for the benefit of all of us manifesting this optimal timeline on Earth for humanity and for our souls as individual souls, for our lifetimes to come after this lifetime.
For the oneness.
Yeah. Essentially for the oneness.
Thank you so much, ladies. I've enjoyed every chance that I've had to be on this show. And for some reason, whenever I'm on this show, I'm just so open to talking and sharing. Like, I'm not on other podcasts. I'm more like reserved and conservative. But on this show, I just feel like I can just say everything that I need, and both of you understand totally. So it really means a lot to me from my heart space that you can invite me on this show and let me share everything that I want to say without holding back. And yeah. If anybody wants to, please support my shop. It's called greatawakeningmap.co, and I've taken a lot of time over the years to design a lot of t-shirts and posters that are designed to red pill humanity as quickly as possible. So if you wear any of my t-shirts in public, they usually have messages of like sacred geometry or enlightening quotes that are just designed to, like, you know, raise the vibration of the public spaces wherever you go. And if you travel around the world, then, you know, everybody who sees these shirts, they're unique shirts, one of a kind, and they are designed to raise, you know, the consciousness of everybody around you. So please keep that in mind when you browse the shop, and I will continue updating it this year, and hopefully we'll have a larger online presence pretty soon coming up. So thank you, everybody, for following the great journey, and I hope to see you all on social media.
Yes. That's my very next thing I'm going to do after we wrap up here. I'm going to go get myself.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't gotten
me
one.
Me too.
But because it's something we reference. I want to get the map as for an art piece on my wall and to wear it out into the world. So thank you for articulating how awakening and activating it is for anyone who's able to just witness it in such a simple way as a piece of clothing. But it really speaks to what we shared, the intention behind what it is that we wear in our bodies, mm-hmm. what we consume for our vessels, and how pivotal it is in this great shift.
Yes. So Champ, from our heart centers, yes. Thank you so much for joining us. It's always such a pleasure. I pray that I can visit you in Thailand, Deandra, as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, when your place is up and running.
Okay. Yes.
Just hit me up on Instagram anytime and we can talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We wish you all the best with that endeavor and anything else that comes from it. And we're so grateful that you've continued this work regardless of anything that has surfaced and have allowed yourself to be a vessel for such mm-hmm. pivotal, monumental greatness for the sake of all.
Thank you, ladies, and for everything that you do on Instagram and for all your podcasts. Thank you for contributing to our positive, optimal timeline reality.
Yeah, we all play our part.
yeah, exactly. So thank you, Champ.
Yes, see you, ladies. Have a wonderful time.
Thank you. Yeah. You too. Until next time.
Thank you for listening. Continue flowing in your own space by simply being.
If this resonated with you and you feel called, please be sure to follow us, like, and share. Until next time, wherever you go,
give yourself space to flow.
Peace out, family.
If you would like to support us, you can check out our affiliates mentioned in our show notes or on our website at flowspacewellness.com and go to our affiliates page. We have affiliates with Greenfield Water Solution, which brings life back into your water, with Lil's Basement, which are handcrafted polymer clay jewelry, incense holders, and cute creations for your body and home, Baja Gold Salt Company, which we love to cook with their sea salt, Oko Living, which are 100% organic cotton, herbal dyed, ethically sourced and made, beautiful yoga mats, Life Changing Energy, which supplies sound healing instruments such as crystal singing bowls, singing pyramids, and tuning forks. You can also support us by leaving us a love donation, any comments on our social media pages or our YouTube, and also sharing our podcast with your friends, family, coworkers, and anybody you feel would benefit from our message. Thank you so much for joining, tuning in, and listening to us and sharing this space, and we look forward to connecting with you in the future.